Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
The Single Mom Blog Podcast, Episode 3. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, welcome to the Single Mom Success Podcast. This is Heather. I'm so glad to have you with me. And I first have to start off by apologizing and saying that I am sorry I have missed a couple of episodes, and this one is coming out late, and it's mainly due to the fact that I was very ill for a period of time, and I actually had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance ill, so that was an interesting experience. I've never had to have that happen before, and so as it turns out, I'm actually fine. I'm on the mend, but apparently I have, like, potentially have ulcers or something that are causing me to have some severe discomfort, and it's too funny because I came back from the hospital. My kids were very concerned about me, worried about me, which is understandable because, you know, they saw mom get taken off in an ambulance. And it's funny, though, because they asked me what was wrong. I said, well, they think, you know, they did all these tests on me and gave me medicine to make me feel better so that I wasn't hurting. And they said they think that I have ulcers. And they said, well, what are ulcers? And I said, well, those are the things that you guys cause. And of course, after I said it, I meant it as a joke to try and lighten the mood. But then, of course, in their minds, they're like, we made you get sick. And I felt terrible after that. So I had to apologize and tell them that I was actually joking. It wasn't that they did anything. It was probably a better joke for adults than it was for them that they didn't actually do it. So it was definitely an interesting experience. So it hasn't been fun. But I hadn't been feeling up to doing much of anything for a little while. And for a period of time when it was really bad, I was on pain medication, which makes me kind of stupid. So I didn't really want to record any podcasts while I was under the influence of pain medication, because who knows what could have come out of my mouth. So I figured it was probably just best to wait until I was back on my feet again. So here I am. And fortuitously, it is actually getting ready to almost be Valentine's Day. And it brought up some ideas for me on podcasts and some blog posts and some things that I'm doing for a couple of reasons. One is I find that I'm seeing in a lot of my Facebook feeds and things like that, people just like, oh, I hate Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is coming up. I hate this holiday, blah, 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 because I'm all alone. It sucks. And I think to myself, and I'm like, God, you know, I don't hate Valentine's Day. I don't hate it. I hate very few things in this world. I mean, hate's a very strong feeling, a very strong word and emotion. And I try to tell my kids, you know, not to use it too often because, hate is a very, very strong feeling. And it takes a lot out of you to hate something. So, you know, I tell them, you know, you can strongly dislike something, you can really not approve of something, but, you know, hate is very strong. So, but I don't hate Valentine's Day. And I think that's because I don't hate being alone. Like, I really don't. I kind of revel in being single. I enjoy it. I don't mind the fact that I am single. I don't mind being a single parent. I'm one of those kind of, I guess, crazy women who I do just fine when I'm single. I don't feel like I'm missing something in my life. I don't have that feeling of, oh, if only I had someone in my life to love. Because I do have people in my life to love. I have three children, and four dogs. So I have people and beings in my life that love me unconditionally. Like, they love me no matter what, which is awesome. Like, that's the best thing there is ever, right? So I don't feel like I'm missing anything, really. Not really. And so when people talk about how they wish they had someone, it is a little hard for me to relate to, because I don't have that feeling. I don't have that yearning. And I'm not sure if maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm supposed to feel like I'm missing something. But I guess there are those people in life. You know, if you think about it, there are people who go through their entire lives never having been married, never having kids. They are perpetually single, or they're only in, you know, relationships, but they never like really get married or settle down. And they seem to be okay with that. Like, they live their lives, and, you know, I don't know, I guess I haven't known any people who have gotten to the end of their lives to find out if they regret not having somebody. Because here's the thing, I think that they fill their lives with experiences and other people, but they aren't alone. Like, they're not miserable, they're not lonely. They have things going on, they have people that they care for, they have people that care for them, they just aren't married or in a serious relationship, or, you know, and maybe there are people out there who just don't have that. Like, they don't have that mental thing going on, or that genetic, I don't even know if it would be genetic, but they just don't have that one something that makes them feel like they are losing out by not having a significant other. And you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, when I was involved with my daughter's dad, I enjoyed aspects of it. I enjoyed certain parts of it. I enjoyed, you know, obviously when we were arguing, I enjoyed, you know, sort of the camaraderie that we had in at some points, laughing and, you know, joking around and, you know, having a good time. But I mean, I can do that with friends. You know, and of course then there was sex, which, you know, I'm not going to lie, is nice, but it's not something that I just can't live without. I mean, I've been celibate since my daughter's dad and I broke up. I haven't been with anybody for, God, like 7 years, almost 7 years. It's a really long time. And I don't feel anything wrong with that. Like, I haven't turned in some wild, crazed, like, gotta have it, gotta hook up with somebody now. I don't feel like I'm missing, like, having that. And maybe it's just the point in my life where I'm at. You know, I think probably several years ago, I probably would have felt like that. Prior to, you know, having kids and being more settled in my life, I think I probably would have been out, you know, hanging out and hooking up or whatever. But when you have kids, or at least for me, when I had kids, my mentalities on it sort of changed. It really did. It wasn't something, it's one of those things where I like it, but I can take it or leave it. And it's not something that I have to have in my life to feel complete. And I don't feel like I'm missing anything by not having it. I don't feel like I'm missing anything by not having a partner. And sometimes people look at me kind of strangely for that. Like, you know, and I'm not entirely sure if it's because of I think there's multiple stereotypes out there, or multiple expectations that are put out there in the world of, first, the stereotype of the single mom who's looking for a daddy for her kids, right? There's people out there that still believe that all single moms are out there looking for a dad for their kids, which is crap. I'm sure that there may be single moms out there who are looking for dads for their kids, but it's crap. It's not the norm. It's not, you know, I mean, the way I look at it is my kids had dads, and the boys' dad wasn't great, right? He wasn't a stellar human being. And my daughter's dad, you know, he has his struggles too. but at least he's participating in her life and he's trying. But he, it's not like I feel like I need to find somebody to fill a void for them. They have my cousins who are older, who can be a, you know, a male influence in their life. They have my dad. They have my uncle. They have other family friends, you know, people who can give them sort of, you know, if they need a male influence in their lives. But I don't feel like I have to find a man in order to fill some imaginary void that they have in their life, right? So really, it's kind of amazing to me when people think, oh, you must be, you know, when they have that mentality. You know, I look at, I'm like, do people come up to you as a single woman and say, hey, you know, you must be out there searching for a husband, right? You must be looking for a paycheck, somebody who you can, you know, settle down with so you don't have to work as much and you can stay at home and make babies, right? Like, that would be offensive to them, right? Wouldn't that be offensive if somebody came up to you as a woman and said, boy, I bet you can't wait to, you know, get married and settle down and start popping out some kids. Like, I personally would be offended. Like, that's my goal in life. That's what I have to have. That's my mission, is to get married and have kids. No. So why is it automatically assumed that a single mom is looking for a man so she can fill some void for herself and her children? That's not true. It's more likely she just would like to have a relationship with someone. She would like to have somebody to be there with her and share her life with, just like everybody else. Just because we're a single parent doesn't mean that our expectations are that we're looking for a daddy. Now, does it play a role when we're talking to people and meeting people? Yeah, or it should anyway. Is this somebody that I'd want to bring around my kids? If the answer is no, then I'm not going to date you. Like, if I'm not willing to bring you around my kids at some point, there is no point in you being in my life. Really. I mean, and so, but I don't really understand that mentality, I guess. But I guess it's because I'm coming at it from the single mom standpoint. I suppose for some people coming at it from the other side, maybe it does make sense. Maybe that is how some women present themselves. But honestly, I don't think that that's how most of us in general feel. Then there's the other, I guess not stereotype per se, but like expectation, is that you should get married in your lifetime. Like, you should get married. And I think, and I talked about it once in another podcast, but I think there was only one time in my life where I was thinking about marriage or getting married. And it was a thought that I had, and I think it was like 19. I was absolutely out of my mind. I can't imagine why I was even thinking about marriage at 19, but whatever. But in all honesty, even now looking back at it, I don't think really seriously in my mind that I really thought I was going to get married. I may have talked about it, and God bless my parents, because they were very accepting, and they were very supportive. And again, I think, like I had said before, I think it was because they knew somewhere in the back of their mind, this is not really going to happen, but we're just going to go along with her and go along with it. And I think I made it about as far as looking to like making a wedding dress, having a wedding dress sewn. My stepmother was making it with me, and like buying fabric and stuff like that, and looking at a place for the reception. And then shortly after that, I think we broke up. So it was just, which is why at 19, I think back and go, why in the hell was I even thinking that at 19 getting married was a good idea? Like, it just, I honestly don't think it ever really occurred to me that I was really going to go through with it. But I don't know. Who knows why you do anything when you're 19, right? But other than that, that is the only time that I've even entertained the thought of marriage. I have never really wanted to get married. I don't think that it sits well with a lot of the people in my family. Like, it just, marriage is something I look at the history of my family, and I've seen, like, my dad's been married 3 times, divorced twice. My uncle's been married 3 times, divorced twice. My grandmother was married 3 times, divorced twice, widowed once. My great uncle was married like 4 or 5 times, but like twice to the same woman, or 3 times to the same woman. It seems like our family just sort of like habitually gets married every so often. And though I will say, you know, my dad's been married to my stepmother for, Lord, a really long time now. Oh my gosh, like 20 some years now. And my uncle has, you know, finally found the love of his life and is married to a wonderful woman. But it's like it took him a couple of times to get it right. And they went through a lot of misery. I mean, they had great times. They had good times too. But towards the end, I think it was very difficult. But I see that and I think to myself, you know, I really don't want to do the whole marriage thing. I think I'm good to be in a serious relationship with someone and a committed relationship with someone, and I'll stay with you until the end of my days if that's what, so, you know, what the powers that be, you know, will allow. But I don't think I want to do the whole walking down the aisle, wearing the dress, having the reception, going to the justice of the peace, getting a piece of paper signed, because in my mind it really is, it's just a piece of paper. And maybe I'm just like too cynical or analytical, I guess. I'm not a romantic per se, so maybe that's why I feel the way I feel. But I don't know, it's just never something that really I wanted to do. But it's kind of interesting how, like, societally, that's what we're supposed to do, quote unquote, we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, you know, grow up, go to school, you know, get a job, have a career, find somebody, fall in love, get married, have kids, and just like perpetuate the cycle. And if we don't, we're seen as sort of the oddity. Like, it's odd for anybody to stay single for their entire life and die single. Like, people look at them and they're like, oh, they died alone. Well, maybe not. Maybe they had lots of friends. Maybe they had other family. Maybe they had a significant other who was with them their entire life, but they were never married. And to assume that they're not going to have a happy life because they're not in a relationship where they would get married, or they're not married with kids, I don't believe that. I think people can be happy alone. I think people can be happy not being married. I'm happy and I'm not married. I'm very happy. I'm exceedingly happy being single. And I think part of it is just because of my mentality too. So when I see people like, oh, I wish I had somebody, or oh, I wish I could get married, or oh, you know, I'm so jealous because my friend's getting married and it makes me feel bad because I feel like I'm never going to get married. I don't understand that. I don't understand that feeling. And I'm not saying that it's not a valid feeling for them. It's just something that I don't understand. But I think that Valentine's Day, when it comes around, everybody gets so down on themselves. Like, if you don't have somebody, it's like the day makes you feel crappy. I've seen people that, like, they're crying, it's Valentine's Day, and I'm so sad because I don't have anybody in my life, and I'm so unhappy with that. And I feel bad for them, because it clearly is something that is very important to them, to have somebody. But for me, I don't hate it. I'm okay with it. Because in all honesty, if you really stop and you look at it, it is just another day that somewhere along the line, somebody put some sort of value on, right? At some point, you know, and then think of it like any other holiday, like Christmas for Jewish people or Muslim people or any other faith, you know, or people who practice another thing. Christmas, December 25th, doesn't hold any special meaning for them, right? And I'm not religious at all, so really Christmas only holds a special meaning to me because of the societal, you know, conventions that have been put in my life throughout my lifetime. Christmas is when we put up the tree, and we exchange presents, and we get gifts, and we all get together as a family, and eat too much food, and occasionally play poker, right? So for me, that's really the only, like, value that day holds. And for, like, people of other faith, that day holds no value at all. It's just another day. It only holds value to some. So the same can be said for Valentine's Day, really. And that's kind of how I look at it, is it really is just another day. And some people put additional meaning to that day. So when I look at Valentine's Day, I don't get sad. I don't get unhappy. I don't hate the day. But because it does have some meaning, you know, for me as a single parent, here's what Valentine's Day means. As a mom, as a single parent, Valentine's Day to me means that I'm going to have to buy a buttload of cheapy little Valentines at Walmart. Spend the better part of 2 days filling out the names of all of the kids that are in my children's classes, affixing little stickers to them and putting little tattoos or attaching pencils or suckers or whatever it is that my child has picked for a Valentine to these dozens and dozens and dozens of little cheapy Valentines, getting them all together in a bag, being told the night before that they're having a Valentine's Day party and that we're supposed to bring cookies, madly running to the grocery store to see if they have any Valentine's Day cookies left, also remembering that there are children in their class that have peanut allergies and certain other allergies and gluten allergies and wheat allergies and food coloring allergies and, you know, some people that can't have candy at all, so then we must buy fruit. And then having to make sure we get it all together so that we have it ready for the next day when they go to school and have their little Valentine's Day party and get together, which I am not allowed to go to because it's for the kids, even though I spent a buttload of money to get all this stuff for the children. Then the day comes, my children go off to school, having forgotten their bag of Valentines that we spent the last 2 days putting together, having forgotten the cookies that we had to madly dash to the store and get. So then I have to pile everything into my car, drive down to the school to give it to my child, and then come home. My children then come home from school after the Valentine's Day party, completely hopped up on sugar from all of the fun little gifts that their friends have given them, and then we proceed to try and get things calmed down. We try and have a nice calm evening, which is almost impossible with the level of sugar that my children have consumed. That's what Valentine's Day is to me. And then maybe if I can get them to calm down enough, maybe we'll have a nice dinner. But that's pretty much my Valentine's Day. And, oh, I'm sorry. And then the most important thing for my Valentine's is that I always get something very carefully and meticulously handmade by my children in school for Valentine's Day, because as their mom, I am their Valentine, which is probably the best part of Valentine's Day for me. I saw this picture one time that I love and I put up every year for Valentine's that says, "My Valentine calls me Mom." And that's how I feel. So Valentine's Day really only holds that significance for me. Even when I had somebody in my life, I think when I was dating my daughter's dad, I don't think that he did anything special for me for Valentine's Day. I don't think there was anything that was ever done. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why I don't feel like I'm missing something, because nobody ever made a fuss for me or over me for Valentine's Day. I never experienced it. So therefore, I have nothing to miss. Nobody sent me roses. Nobody gave me flowers. Nobody gave me cards or candies or chocolates or really anything that was significant enough for me to go, "Oh, that's sweet." Like, there was no grand gesture that was so... I mean, and I'm not saying that I guess I can't say I never did. To be honest, I really don't remember. You know, I think I, you know, when I had a my boyfriend when I was younger, the one that I was going to maybe marry when I was 19, I think he did some special small things for me on Valentine's Day, like maybe got me a little teddy bear or something. But there was nothing so emotionally, like, important to me that happened that made me remember and go, "Oh, I wish I had that feeling again." Like, I just was like, "Oh, that's sweet. Thank you so much. It's like, look at the cute little bear, and thank you for the rose. That's really pretty," you know? But it was nothing so grand that made me like, "Oh my God, look what I'm missing out on." You know, and maybe it's because I just haven't had anybody that made me feel that way, you know? And it's not to say that I didn't appreciate it when people give me gifts. It's not that I didn't, you know, at the time think, you know, and it's not that I expect that that's what should happen. Like, oh, I expect somebody to sweep me off my feet. To be honest, I don't know that I would know what to do if somebody came and tried to sweep me off my feet. Like, when people do romantic gestures for me, I, like, panic because I don't know how to deal with those things. And because I've never experienced them, right? So I've never experienced something so amazingly romantic that I'm just like, holy crap, I'm going to melt into a puddle on the floor right here. Like, that's never happened to me in my lifetime. So maybe that's why I don't feel some sort of twinge of loss for not having somebody on Valentine's Day, because it really has never been a holiday that's held that kind of importance for me. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I don't hate Valentine's Day, because I've never really experienced a beautiful, amazing experience on a Valentine's Day, you know? Maybe I don't hate Valentine's Day because I've never been married, and so I don't know what it feels like to have a spouse who comes home and you guys have a romantic, you know, dinner together, or, you know, Valentine's Day holds a special meaning for you. So maybe the people who say, you know, I hate Valentine's Day because I'm all alone, you know, I don't know that that's why you hate it. Maybe it's that you, it's not that you're alone that you hate it. It's that you are holding on to the memory of what was, and now you realize I don't have that. And then you feel a sense of loss. And since I don't have that memory of what was, I don't feel that sense of loss. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I don't hate Valentine's Day. But to me, like I said, it's always been just a day. So maybe for those of you who are experiencing that sadness of Valentine's Day, that I don't have anybody, you know, type of thing, instead, maybe make Valentine's Day about you. I mean, that's what I do. I make it about me and my kids. I asked my daughter today, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? And she looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, well, you guys are my Valentines, and we're together for Valentine's Day. You know, you're with me this weekend instead of your dad. So what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? Do you want to go out to dinner? Would you guys like to go see a movie? Let's plan. So I make my Valentine's about me and my kids. I don't make it about this romantic, like, ideal that I don't have. I don't sit there and think, oh, on Valentine's Day, I should be getting dozens of roses, and I should be taken out to dinner in a nice dress by a man in a tuxedo, and I should be swept off my feet, and I should be, you know, I should be getting gifts, and, you know, I should have somebody with me to watch and cuddle with, you know, and watch romantic movies, and, you know, retire and, you know, to the bed. And, you know, I don't sit there and think that, because then I, you know, maybe if I did think that, then that's why I would feel bad. Like, maybe that's what would keep somebody feeling bad about Valentine's Day, because that's, they've got this mental picture in their head of what the day should be like, what it should look like, what they should be experiencing, what they should be feeling. And I always tell people, you know, what screws us up in life is that picture in our head of how things are supposed to be, right? That's what screws us up. That picture in our head of how things are supposed to be. Well, it's not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to be alone on Valentine's Day. Says who? Says who? And who says that because you're alone on Valentine's Day, you can't have a wonderful day? You can't enjoy your time with your children? Who says that you can't go out and get yourself some bubble bath and buy yourself a rose and sit down in your tub and have some nice time by yourself after the kids go to bed and read a nice romantic novel that makes you all hot and bothered? Who says you can't do that? Why not? Do that for yourself. Spend some time on you. I mean, in this world, you know, one of the greatest, I have a client that I work with in my business, and her name is Christina Rilo, and she is the self-proclaimed, she is a queen of self-love. She is all about making sure that you love yourself above all, not in a narcissistic, I'm all that and everybody should bow before me type of way, but in a, it is so important that you love the person that you are before you can expect anybody to love you the way that you want to be loved. Like, you have to love yourself first and foremost. Like, it's important. It's not selfish. It's important that you love who you are. It is important and imperative for your own mental and physical well-being to be happy and in love with the person that you are, and give yourself that, you know, treat yourself the way you want others to treat you. Treat yourself the way that you expect to be treated, right? And you know, if you're sitting there always down on yourself and, oh, I'm alone because I'm ugly or I'm fat or this or that, and I'm telling you, Valentine's Day, man, for some reason, it just, like, drives that stuff home for some people. Like, they spend that I am alone and I'm miserable and I'm always going to be like this and I suck and, you know, that's not okay. Like, you spend that time just beating yourself up instead of raising yourself up. And that's really important. You know, when I first met Christine for, you know, with work, I was really in a bad place for myself. I wasn't, you know, taking care of myself. I didn't feel that it was important for me to do things for myself. It was more important for me to take care of my children. And as I've, you know, worked with her and read her materials, I went out and got her book, Madly in Love with Me. If you've never seen it, you can get it on, like, Amazon. I think Barnes and Noble carries it some places. But it's a wonderful book, and it's really all about understanding how critical and important it is to have a good relationship with yourself. And it may sound weird, it may sound corny, but it truly is important if you think about it. Like, how can you expect anybody to love you if you don't love who you are? How is somebody else supposed to love you? If you are unhappy and miserable, how are you supposed to expect anybody to love you? Like, that is expecting somebody else to fill a void in yourself that you should be filling. Right? You should be able to fill yourself up with that love and contentment and acceptance. Expecting somebody else to do that for you is just it's a failure waiting to happen. It really is, because that is way too much pressure to put on another person. You know, it's not fair to expect somebody else to spend their lives making you feel better about you. You should be able to feel better about yourself. And when you do, I think that's when you become that more confident person. And that's when you get to that point where things like Valentine's Day, I don't have somebody in my life, that's okay. I'm going to go and do something for me. I'm going to go buy myself flowers. I'm going to go take myself out and get a pedicure. Because there's no reason in the world that you shouldn't. Who says you shouldn't? Who says you can't buy flowers for yourself? I like flowers. They're pretty. They smell nice. They look beautiful on my table. Why should I wait for somebody to give them to me if I can just go out and stink them and get them myself? Why sit there and look at my table and say, oh, it's so empty and it's Valentine's Day. I wish there were roses. Well, by God, if I want there to be roses, then I'll go frickin' get myself some roses. Like, why should I wait for somebody else to fill that space? I don't have to. And again, I think that's why Valentine's Day does not hold this meaning for me, where I feel like I'm missing out on something. Because to be perfectly honest, with the exception of companionship, there is nothing that being in a relationship gives me that I can't give myself. I mean, really. I mean, a couple of things, but nothing major. Nothing that I miss right now, right? So, honestly, I'm okay with being alone on Valentine's Day. I don't hate Valentine's Day. So, for any of you who are out there just struggling with this day, go do something for yourself. Do something special for yourself. Don't have somebody to take you out to dinner? Okay. Take yourself to dinner. Take you and your kids to dinner. You know, as a single mom, if you can't afford to go out to dinner, make yourself a picnic and have a living room floor picnic. And your kids will probably love it. I'm sorry, unless they're older and they're teenagers and they're too cool to do the, you know, I'm dealing with that right now with my 14-year-old. Mom, I don't really want to do that. I'm kind of too old. I'm like, man, when did that freaking happen? Right? So, but you could try. You never know, right? Spread out a blanket, right? Make some sandwiches, make some stuff, you know, have a living room floor picnic. Put a movie on, watch a movie with the kids, living room floor picnic. Just make it something special with you and your kids if you can't afford to go out, you know? And here's the thing. Valentine's Day, when Valentine's Day hits, probably about towards the end of Valentine's Day or the day after Valentine's Day. Because here's the thing, you know, who says you have to celebrate Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day? So if you decide you want those flowers and it'll make you feel good, after Valentine's Day is over, they're on sale. Go get them. You know, go get some pretty flowers and put them on your table. Who cares if they didn't come from that special someone? They're still pretty and they still smell really nice and they still make your house a lot brighter, right? So do it. Don't rely on other people to make you feel good just because it's a stupid day. It's February 14th. It's a day on the calendar. It holds only holds meaning if you allow it to hold meaning, right? So it can only hurt you if you allow it to hurt you, right? And that's how I feel about Valentine's Day. Like, it just, it's one of those days where I can take it or leave it. It's nice if you have someone. And if you do have someone, then great. Make sure you make it a special day, you know, for you and for them. It's not just about you, it's for them as well, you know? If you don't have someone, though, make it a Valentine's Day for you, right? This is my Valentine's Day for me. I am making my day special for me, my Valentine. I am my own Valentine. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. It's not sad. It's not pathetic. It simply just is what it is. There is nothing wrong with being single on Valentine's Day. There really is not. I mean, the social standard has been set where if you don't have somebody on Valentine's Day, oh, you poor, poor thing. Shut up. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me. I just happen to not have a significant other at this point in my life on this particular day. So, I won't have someone tomorrow. Does that make it worse? Does it make it better? Right? I probably won't have somebody the next day or the next day or the next day. Does that make those days any worse because I'm single? No. So who cares? Right? That's just me. So anyway, that's the reason I don't hate Valentine's Day, and that's just kind of my take on it. So I really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I hope maybe you got something out of it. If nothing else, I hope that if you are currently single and you do not have somebody for Valentine's Day, I hope that it helped you to just realize that, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing in the world to happen, and you have beautiful children in your life who are your Valentine. So they love you unconditionally. They love you no matter what. So they are the best Valentines in the world to have ever, period. No matter what, they are the best Valentines because they love you with no strings. No strings. No baggage. No nothing. Probably some drama, but they still love you anyway. And you still love them. So as far as I'm concerned, they make the best Valentines anyway. So I hope you enjoyed this. Please feel free to share with anyone else. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please make sure you do. I promise they will come on a more regular basis, provided I stay healthy and don't have any problems. They should be out every single Monday. And have a wonderful day. Enjoy your Valentine's and go out there and do something special for yourself. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.